Pinot Noir. I do want Oregon. I do want France. Mm-hmm. But when California Pinot Noir gets this floral with the rose petals and the raspberries and the strawberries and the you said, like earlier it was violets and now it's just gorgeous, a bouquet of roses. And then on the palate, the acidity is absolutely perfect. They just do such a good job on this wine. I mean, it tastes like $200 French wine. I want more of this. That's the problem with this. Absolutely balanced, gorgeous, and then it's, I feel like maybe the finish could be a little bit longer. Maybe that's my actual only real, concern.
If we want to split hairs,
the finish could be a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But no, it's just really great. What do you think, Justin?
This reminds me of a Christmas store in the villages with the rich palette of all the stuff that's on the shelves that you can smell and taste when you're walking through
it. Yeah, we didn't mention the spices. There's like the, when you have that Christmas.
Mulled spices. It even reminds me of like the glue wine I had in Munich in December, but in the best way. Like the glue wine
can be fantastic if it's made properly.
Yeah.
And you went to Munich to get yours, so I assume you got good glue wine.
I got a variety.
Oh, very good.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, he tried all of it.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
At some point, you stop remembering what you're drinking.
Oh, not me. I'm a professional.
This Copain was absolutely fantastic. I mean, really, really well done.
This is another wine that drinks like way more than its price. Yeah. It's under $60. It tastes like $200 French wine. It's really not French. It's California.
Nothing wrong with that.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just going to give a rating to that last one, which is...
And I really shouldn't compare it to French wine, but it's, you know, it's
very French in style, so... Yeah. The Copain Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir 2022. Fantastic wine. 5 sips.
Oh, my goodness!
Yeah. All right, Justin, so tell us about our next wine.
So, we're going to talk about Siduri, founded in 1994, named after the Babylonian goddess of wine. They began with a focus on the cultivation of Pinot Noir, offering both single vineyard and Appalachian expressions from 6 noteworthy regions in California and Oregon, offering over 25 nuanced Pinot Noirs, with one Chardonnay from Willamette Valley, Anderson Valley, Russian River Valley, Santa Lucia Highlands, Santa Rita Hills, and Santa Barbara County. And the expression we're going to talk about today is Siduri Gary's Vineyard Pinot Noir 2023. It's 14.5% alcohol by volume. It's 100% Pinot. And it's from the Santa Lucia Highlands. It's aged 10 months and 25% new French oak. So this one, it's got a medium dark color. There's fruit and wood on the nose, the palate. Fruit with hot chocolate, and the finish was mostly hot chocolate. What did you think, Harm?
I think you're broken.
I know I'm broken.
So I would call this an opaque garnet with little ruby edges. Black cherry on the nose. spice, orange peel. There's a little cola coming out. It seems muted. This is just kind of weird. I've had Gary's Vineyard before. I don't know if this bottle is off or what. Last time we had Siduri on the show, too, was another one, bottle that was just was very muted. I don't know what's going on lately with Siduri. I mean, I've sold Siduri for 20, 25 years. And again, they make 25 different wines. Usually we carry between 5 and 6. Or sometimes, at one point, we're carrying 10 different wines from them. This wine is, like you said, the hot chocolate?
Yeah.
You're not off. You're not completely broken. There's some cocoa powder here. But it's there. It's definitely there. It's the floral, but it just seems just very muted today. On the nose, on the palate. Big time cherries. Cocoa powder, great tannin, beautiful mouthfeel. But I felt like the nose was just a little bit muted. A little bit of black tea on the finish. But yeah, it's kind of not showing properly. Bob, what do you think?
I'm with you. It's definitely this one is a little bit more muted than I'm used to. In past Siduris that I've had.
I'm particularly Gary's Vineyard.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, it's mostly the nose that's
muted. The nose is missing.
The palate
compared
is
to
there.
The copaine's a bouquet of flowers.
Yeah.
And it hits you in the face. This is very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people, if you like a subtle Pinot Noir, I understand many people do. This is more subtle than the previous one.
Well, we're going to give the Siduri Gary's Vineyard Pinot Noir 2023 3 sips.
Interesting.
So we're going to have Harm tell us about our last wine. We're running short on time, so
be quick. So this is the Fremark Abbey. It's one of Napa Valley's original Cabernet houses with a legacy that dates back to 1886. They're known for iconic Bosch and Sycamore single vineyard Cabernets. They were a longtime presence, and this is the Fremark Abbey. Napa Valley Cabernet 2021, 14.5% ABV. It's 94% Cabernet Sauvignon, 5% Petit Verdot, 1% Merlot, aged for 19 months of French oak. 47% of that oak is new. The fruit is sourced from 9 vineyards located in Oak Knoll, Rutherford, Mount Viter, and ranges in elevations from 140 to 1,300 feet. The color is an absolutely gorgeous garnet. Black cherry on the nose. There's blue fruits here. There's plum and blackberry. I'm sorry, blueberry. Lots of dark chocolate. This is the hot chocolate that Justin was talking about here. A little bit of oak. And let's see. Very rich. Very round on the palate. No sharp edges whatsoever. Espresso. Black fruit. The finish is medium. I mean, it's good, but it feels like it's lacking some acidity to me. Justin, what do you think?
You know, this wine has gotten better the longer it's been in the glass.
We did double decant it before pouring it.
Yes.
We did, and it's been out like 2.5 hours. But the nose has got like these beautiful notes. Kind of reminds me of like bringing dessert into the cigar bar. And the palate had lots of nice fruit, nuts, a little spicy. It's a really well-constructed wine. And the finish, it's all fruit. And it's asking a lot to double decant something and let it sit around for 2.5 hours. But open it up for breakfast if you're drinking it for lunch.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we drank this wine too young. I understand why, but I feel the thing is, it's got the tannin, it's got the fruit. I feel like it's lacking a little acidity. What do you think, Bob?
I think you're right. I think the acidity could definitely be up a little bit, and it would give it a little bit more of a backbone. But at the same token, I'm also with Justin in the fact that when we first sat down and started taking notes, you know, well before we hit record, it was still real tight. I wasn't getting as much off of it, but the longer this sits, the better it gets.
Decant for 2 hours before actually
two or three.
Yeah, I'm with Justin. Open it at breakfast, have it for dinner.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, even better.
The tannin on this
now
was a little.
Now I'm getting pencil lead notes I wasn't getting earlier.
The tannin
it's really
was
evolving in the glass.
Yeah, the tannin was overwhelming. Yeah,
I think we screwed this up. We should have opened this earlier.
Yeah.
We see the potential though.
Yeah.
So we can advise our listeners, and they can do what they want.
Yeah, it just continues to evolve. I'm with you. The minerality is what I'm tasting now that I didn't get before because the tannin was covering it all up. It's a beautiful wine. It really is. I mean, this is very well done.
So this is the problem when you, open a wine too early. It's a 2021 Freemark Abbey. 5 years you think should be good for California. I think this one we need to open maybe next year.
Mm-hmm. If you forget it in your cooler for a decade, don't worry. It hasn't gone bad.
Yeah, this wine's going to be just get better.
I'm thankful they sent us a 21 yes, instead of a 23.
I know. Jesus. Yeah.
I mean, we.
That's the problem. Yeah. They'll put wine out for retail. It's not ready to drink. Nowhere near ready to drink. Yeah. This is the one that, at least they sent us a 21.
Yeah, this one really has evolved. I mean, this one has really evolved and really opened up. About the only thing I can knock on it, I wish it had just a slight bit more acidity. Other than that, I think it's drinking very well. So we're going to be giving the Freemark Abbey Valley Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2021 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, Harm.
Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate the wine shows. I've been drinking way too much whiskey lately.
I enjoy the wine shows. I really do. I like both of them, but I really do like the wine shows. And thank you, Justin.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Where else am I going to drink all these different Kendall Jackson wines and learn what it's all about?
Yeah, well, it's always a good day when we're sitting in the basement and we're drinking wine. So, yeah. And especially when we're drinking really good wine.
Bob, I really could appreciate a steak with one of these wines. What's going on? Where's our production?
I have one in the fridge, but no one told me to bring it. I have pizza, though.
They send us all these good wines. Our production company should be sending us good steaks.
This California wine. Oh. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back. Join us for another episode. And keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. The support from our awesome community helps keeping the station diverse and independent. Thank you. Thank you.
This is Bird Note. Do you like to guess the bird before we identify it? Then here's a short quiz for you. Bird one. Yes, that's the song of the American robin. Bird two. The olive-sided flycatcher. In a few weeks, these flycatchers will leave for their wintering grounds in South and Central America. All right, here comes bird three. Yup, that's the cry of a red-tailed hawk soaring overhead. How about this one? Did you answer blue jay? Nope. This is the Steller's jay. If you're west of the Rocky Mountains, you're most likely to hear the Steller's jay. East of the Rockies, you'll hear the blue jay. So, how'd you do? Let's run through them again. American robin. Olive-sided flycatcher. Red-tailed hawk. Steller's jay and blue jay. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. This episode is brought to you by Teton Science Schools, specializing in outdoor learning experiences and education in Grand Teton National Park. More at tetonscience.org.
Hey, hey, this is Thurston. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby. Yeah, keep listening.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. As climate change brings more extreme heat to the Boston area, some residents' homes may become swelteringly hot. Julia Nasser of the Metropolitan Area Planning Council, a public agency, says many buildings in the city were designed for the cooler climate Boston had in the past.
The buildings were built for winters, and so they're really good at retaining heat, which is particularly problematic in the summers. They're not built with cooling or proper ventilation.
But she says cool roofs could help. Cool roofs are covered in reflective coatings or other materials that limit how much heat the roof absorbs from the sun. This helps both the building and the surrounding area stay cooler.
And, you know, it makes running your ACs or fans easier, and so you're also kind of saving money on your energy bills. So it's really like a great holistic solution.
Nasser's group has created an online assessment where owners, roofers, and others can enter information like a roof slope and materials to determine how suitable it is to convert to a cool roof. They also released a map to help residents and public officials find buildings in the Boston area that could benefit from cool roofs. Nasser hopes these tools help make cool roofs more widespread so people can stay safe from the heat. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.